Bible, this is our gift to you. If you just forgot your Bible today, you can leave it back on the Welcome Center table on the way out, and somebody else can use it next week. But go and lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get you a Bible, as we are going to be continuing in James chapter number 1. One final quick announcement. You can check this on Facebook later. I had planned to have an insert in the bulletin today, and I just didn't get around to doing it. For school supplies. We're going to be doing a school supply drive this year, as we've done in previous years. Moving out of Riverbend School, we're going to still bless and encourage Riverbend School as much as possible, but we want to start blessing some of the other schools in South Yuba City. And so Barry School is going to be the school that we adopt for this coming school year. And so I'm working with Janet, who's a teacher there, about some ideas and ways that we can bless the teachers and staff over at Barry School. And so we'll have a list in a bulletin next week, but I'll put it on Facebook this week as well, some of the things that they're looking for that would be a help and encouragement to them. So as you're out and about and thinking about the start of school, which you're all excited about, right? Be thinking about school supplies and ways that we can bless the teachers over at Barry School this year. So we're in James chapter number 1. We started a new series a couple of weeks ago called Life According to Jim. And so we're very excited about going through an expository verse-by-verse study of this particular book of the Bible. And one of the great things that comes from going through a book of the Bible like this is it provides us with a much better sense of the context of what's happening in the passage. Now, whenever we teach the Word of God, we always want to take the context into account. We should never teach a passage of Scripture and ignore the context around it. But going through an expository series like we're doing, it's helpful because the context is already there. And so we've already talked last week and the week before. So if you've missed any of our messages, want to get caught up, they're available on our website. You can also download an app that our church has where the sermons automatically upload to the app and you can listen to them on your smartphone. That's a really great way to get caught up and get connected. The PowerPoints are on the website, so you can check out all of those things. But this morning's message in particular is just a great example of that, because last week we talked about trials and testing, and this week the passage really revolves around wisdom and how wisdom plays a part. And so it'd be easy to think just silo wisdom off, but the whole context is how God give us wisdom as we go through trials. And so one thought leads into the other thought, and we hope that'll be a blessing as we go through it this morning. So there are a lot of things in this world, a lot of things in life that are cause and effect. There are a lot of cause and effect relationships that occur in life. When we're aware of what the temperature is going to be tomorrow or this week, you know, we plan what we're going to wear based on what the temperature is going to be. So the temperature would be a cause, and effect would be kind of what our wardrobe is going to be that day. If it's going to be 100 degrees, we're probably not going to be wearing a sweater and things of that nature. When you go into a darkened room, one of the things that you do is, you know, you flip on a light. You know, the cause of walking into a darkened room yields an effect of, you know, I need light. I need to see where I'm going. Although it did occur to me this week as I was thinking about this illustration that it doesn't quite work the way it once did, because now we all have smartphones. Like I have a lamp next to my bed. I don't know that I've ever turned it on for anything because I just turn on my smartphone to kind of like walk around my bedroom. But that's still it's still a cause and effect. My wife and my daughters left to visit her parents and the cousins and aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, all that. They're all back in Illinois. And they left 18 days ago. 18 days ago they left, and they still have 10 more days to go until they come home. And I've discovered something. There's a lot of effect that happens when my wife is around. And there's a lot of things that aren't happening because my wife is so my wife is a cause. She's like the great cause in my house. And the result of that is there's a lot of effect that happens in my house, and I'm kind of like, oh, she does that. My respect for my wife just continues to grow and expand and enlarge the longer that she's gone. So we're looking at the subject of wisdom. Okay, we're looking at the subject of wisdom. And as we think about these verses, there's a cause and there's an effect. They come right after the verses we discussed last week on trials, tests, and troubles. This, trials, tests, and troubles, has something to do with what we're going to be talking about today, and that is the subject of wisdom. So the title is Shaken, Not Deterred. Shaken, Not Deterred. We can be shaken in our faith, we can be shaken in our life, but that doesn't mean we need to be turned off the path that God has laid out for us. So we're continuing that conversation. If trials become a cause for further spiritual development and growth, and that's what we talked about last week, trials and testing are an essential ingredient to your spiritual development. We don't like it. It's not anything that we would wish for, but that is part of the recipe. You cannot have spiritual growth in your life without trials and testing. What effect then should that have on us? So let's dive into our text and see what we can learn on that subject. So verses 5 through 8, James chapter number 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, we mentioned in our introductory message that it was written with a very specific Jewish perspective, this book of the Bible, and relies heavily on that mindset. It's often referred to as the Proverbs of the New Testament because there are so many verses that deal with the subject of wisdom, because the book of Proverbs speaks heavily on the subject of wisdom. The opening verses of the book of Proverbs say this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." That's the book of Proverbs. That is the basis, and that is what the Bible talks about. That's what the book of Proverbs is referring to: wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. And we see a lot of that here in the book of James. Of the contrast between knowledge and wisdom, it's been said that knowledge is the accumulation of information, but wisdom is putting that knowledge into practice. And so we can know about a lot of things. We can have understanding about a lot of things, but it's not really wisdom until we put those things into practice. It does not impact you and those around us in meaningful ways if we say, and have you ever said this? "I know what the right thing is to do, but I'm going to do this instead." We've all been there, haven't we? We know it. We know it with every fiber of our being that this is the right way to go, but we do this instead. The Bible calls that foolish and not wise. Knowledge without wisdom, that's foolishness. So as we look at this text this morning, the trials of life create a plea for wisdom, which produces a stability in our faith. So this talk about wisdom, it's all tied to these verses right before as relates to the trials of life. It creates a plea for wisdom, which should produce a stability in our faith. So let's look at a couple of things. You've got an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along with us today, and we'll see what God has for us. Number one, the source of wisdom. Okay, what is the source of wisdom? Well, the Bible makes it clear, first off, that it's a generous God, a generous God. If any of you lacks wisdom, okay, I need wisdom. I need help. I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a test. I'm going through a circumstance that I'd rather not go through. I need wisdom. What do I do? Where do I go to get that wisdom? The Bible says, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. He is a generous God. He wants to give us wisdom as we go through the trials of life. One of the keys of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth is when we stop asking why and begin asking who. To stop asking why and begin asking who. It turns our eyes away from the circumstance itself to a God who's trying to teach us something through that circumstance. God, what are you trying to teach me about myself? What are you trying to teach me about you? What are you trying to teach me about your kingdom work as I go through this circumstance? Not, why is this happening to me? And I'm not beating us up if we've all said that. We've all been there. But if we stay there, we're going to be in infancy. We're not going to be growing. We're not going to be developing. Part of our spiritual growth and development is moving from a why question to a who question. He is the one to whom we must turn. The word for generously here is one that refers to single-heartedness, where all of his attention is upon his child. If you have more than one child, sometimes, do you ever feel like a referee? You ever feel like a referee? You got more than one child? And I'm not talking about fighting. Okay, I'm not talking about, okay, you're in that corner and you're in that corner. Although sometimes that happens too, okay? But when you're a referee, and some of you have served as referees, I've served as a referee for different sports. When you're a referee, what do you have to do? You have to keep your eye on kind of multiple things at one time. When you're a parent of multiple children, you're kind of keeping your eye on the chaos that's going on around you. You can't spend your time just fixated on one child because the other child might be, you know, burning the house down or something, okay? What it's talking about here is with God, it's like you're the only one in the room. It's like you're the only one in the room. So when he talks about he's a generous God, he gives generously to all, it means if you're the only person asking him for wisdom, the only person looking for strength, the only person looking for grace, his eyes are completely fixed upon you. Say, Pastor Greg, I don't get that. I don't either. That's why he's God and I'm not. He is able to do that, give you his single focused attention as if you were his only child, and he treats every single one of us that way. He is a generous God. Ask him for wisdom. Go to him for wisdom. The Bible says he's also a loving God. It says without reproach. Without reproach. He'll give generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. What does it mean to give without reproach or without reprimand, without finding fault? Let me give you an illustration, okay? Have you ever seen someone homeless or someone who's begging for food, or they're asking for money, or will work for food or something along those lines? They've got a cardboard sign. I remember being, you know, in San Francisco one time and saw somebody with a cardboard sign, and he was like, I won't lie, it's for beer. I was like, thumbs up, man. Like, way to keep it real. Way to be honest, you know? He's keeping it absolutely, absolutely true, okay? And sometimes we give. Sometimes we give to help. But, you know, sometimes we do it with reproach, don't we? Like, we're going to give, but, you know, we're going to walk away like, man, that guy, you know, he just really needs to get his act together. Or, you know, if he really cared about himself, he would do X, or he would do Y, or he would do Z. We give, but it's kind of with reproach. We give, but it's kind of with some judgment. We give, but it's kind of with some ulterior motivations. What the Bible is saying here, that he gives without reproach, he says he just gives. He just gives. He doesn't say, you know, you got yourself into this mess, you need to get yourself out of it. He doesn't say that. He gives wisdom without reproach, without finding fault, without reprimand. Go to God, and he will give you that wisdom. He is a generous God. He is a loving God. Our society, and some even within Christianity, want to set up God as the ruthless taskmaster who's just waiting for us to slip up so that he can zap you. If that is your view of God, you got to change that, because that is not the God that we serve. He is a loving God. He is a generous God. He's a loving God. I love this verse in Matthew 7. Yeah, there it is on the screen. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Well, I think, I can't go to God with this. You know, like, and we, because we do that as parents sometimes, like, and I don't want to be bothered. God's not that way. And he says, look, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, and we do, we love our children, we want to give good gifts to them, how much more will our Heavenly Father give to those who ask of him? Where's the source of wisdom? Where can you find wisdom to get through the trials and tests of life? From God, who is generous and who is loving. Number two, the securing of wisdom. How do we get it? How do we get it? We know where to get it. How do we get it? Okay? The securing of wisdom. Number one, a humble heart. Humble heart. If any of you lacks, let him ask. Let him ask. We need to acknowledge there's a need and ask for help. Pastor Greg, I don't want to ask for help. I'm tough. I'm a man, or I don't need God's help in my life. Okay, fine. But the Bible describes that attitude with the word. It's called pride. And look what the Bible says also in the book of Proverbs about pride. Check out some of these verses. 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. God, give us humble hearts. Humble hearts. Don't have the attitude that you've got it all figured out. You don't need God. You don't need any help. You don't need a humble heart. If you want wisdom, if you want the wisdom from God to secure it in your life, the first thing you need to have is a humble heart. The word here used, he should ask. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. This isn't a Dear Abby advice column. This is going to God and saying, I need your wisdom. Please help me and instruct me. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. I know that I've shared this before, so if you've heard this, I apologize for being repetitive, but it's always been striking to me. Jeremiah 29:11. We can almost quote this one by heart. We put it on all sorts, we just finished graduation. This is graduation. I've preached from this text, and we put it on buttons and bumper stickers and water bottles and pens and all sorts of stuff. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Amen, right? Amen? That's a great verse, man. That's a verse worthy of putting on a bumper sticker. It's a verse worthy putting somewhere in a place of prominence in your heart and in your life and in your home. I'm not being critical. But look at the next two verses. Look at the context. Then, there's something that comes after. This is a really cool promise. Well, what happens now that I claim this promise? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Promise is cool. Yeah, God's got a future for me. I got hope in my life. God wants good things for me. See ya. No. Keep reading. What does it say? What does that do? Man, call upon him. Seek him with all of our heart, with everything that we have. Some great reminders there. So the securing of wisdom, we need a humble heart. Number two, we need a believing heart. A believing heart. Verse number 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Believe and not doubt. We need to have genuine trust in God's character, purpose, and promise. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says what? Trust in the Lord with just some of your heart. Trust in the Lord on Sundays. Ah, yes. Trust in the Lord as the band is playing this wonderful music and we feel this emotional, wonderful connection to God and people. All of our heart. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. A believing heart, trusting in him. The greatest enemy to answered prayer is unbelief. The greatest enemy of answered prayer is unbelief. Isn't that what it says there in verse 7? For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Ask believing that God is going to give you the wisdom that you need to go through the trials and tests and circumstances of life. And lastly, number 3, the stability, right? The stability of wisdom. What does it bring into our lives when God gives us, we go to the source, we secure it for ourselves. What's the result of this? It's stability. It's first off a single focus. The Bible says here in the opposite, he is the person who doesn't do this is a double-minded man. The opposite is double-minded. Keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and his purposes as we go through the test, trials, and troubles. The greatest example of this is found in Matthew chapter 14, and we won't turn there this morning, but if you want to jot that text down, Matthew chapter 14 is the account of Peter walking on the water. They're out in the boat, and the storm rises up in the boat. The disciples are there, and they look out, and they see someone out on the water, and it's Jesus. And Jesus says, hey, come out here on the water. And there's this great storm going out, and Peter steps out of the boat and begins walking on the water towards Jesus. Man, I would love to have seen that. That's one of the greatest and coolest illustrations of faith in all the Bible. And the Bible says he begins to sink when he takes his eyes off of the Lord. He begins to look around at the waves. He begins to look at the wind and the storm around him, and he begins to sink. And Jesus grabs him and pulls him up. When we get this wisdom from the Lord, it produces a stability, a single focus. Faith says yes. Unbelief says no. Doubt says yes and no, depending on the circumstance. So like I said, there's sometimes, like, yeah, I'm all in, man, I'm on board. And there's sometimes, no way, man, I'm not going there. And then there's this in-between. It's this back and forth. It's this instability. It's this highs and lows, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, where we're up and we're down. That's not the way God wants us to live. He wants us to live with a stability in our lives and a single focus that comes from having the Lord as our fixed point of reference. A single focus. And then the second thing, notice a solid foundation. A single focus and a solid foundation. Unstable in all his ways. That's, of course, the opposite of unstable. You have that picture of instability in verse 6. You see it there in that account we just read about in Matthew. Also in Matthew chapter 7, you've got the wise man and the foolish man. the wise man builds his house on the what? The rock. Foolish man builds his house on the sand. Okay, when the storm comes, the house on the sand goes what? Splat. You know, that's one of the great songs, one of the great children's songs. Okay, and the house on the rock stands what? Firm. Stability, a solid foundation. I was thinking about the story of Elijah, you know, on the top of Mount Carmel. He's having this battle with the prophets of Baal. Let's do the test. Let's see whose God is the real God, either my God or your God. Let's see who can, you know, destroy the sacrifice and call down fire from heaven in the midst of this drought that we're going through. And the prophets of Baal, they're cutting themselves, and they're dancing, and they're yelling, and they're screaming, and they're trying to get the attention of Baal. Baal doesn't exist, so nothing's happening. And then Elijah prays, and he asks God to show his glory to the people, and the Bible says the fire comes down, and it consumes the sacrifice, it consumes the stones, it consumes the water, it consumes the dust. Everything is obliterated. And part of the message of Elijah in that text is to the people, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God is God, follow him. And if Baal is God, follow him. But don't keep waffling back and forth between which camp you're in. We see that so often in our lives. We see that so often in the Christian church in America. A waffling back and forth. And if things are good, yeah, I'm on God's team. Yeah, let's do it. But sometimes when things get bad, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. We need a stability in our faith. We need a stability in our spiritual growth and development. And from that wisdom that comes only from God, that is secured only when we are humble and believing, that's where it's at. That's how it produces itself into our lives. Trials are a natural extension of our Christian experience that drive us to a greater maturity in the Lord. That was last week. This week, the trials of life create a plea for wisdom, which produces a stability in our faith. So when the trials of life come, when the testing comes, That's the cause. What's the effect? Worry, anxiety, stress, fear. The Bible says, plead for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom so that you might go through these things with understanding of what God wants to teach you. You know, it's interesting, when confronted with tests, trials, and troubles of life, we're not encouraged, check this, we're not encouraged from this text, we're not encouraged to pray for strength, we're not encouraged to pray for grace, we're not even encouraged to pray for deliverance. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things, but just check what the Bible says here. When we go through the trials, tests, and troubles of life, we need to pray for wisdom. God, give me wisdom as I walk this path, and teach me more about myself and more about you and more about your kingdom work in this world. Warren Wiersbe tells the story of one of his associates, a gifted secretary. She had had a stroke, her husband had gone blind, and then he had to be taken to the hospital where they were sure he would die. Warren Wiersbe is a great Bible teacher and writer and author, and when he saw her at church, he just tried to encourage her and said, "Hey, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you." And you know, that's not an atypical thing for a pastor, you know, to say, I'm praying for you as you go through this experience. But he was caught off guard because the secretary replied back, "What exactly are you praying for?" And he was like, "Well, isn't it enough that I said I was praying for you? Like, I've said the words and now I'm moving on to the next person." But she kind of challenged him, kind of confronted him there and said, "What exactly are you praying for?" And he said, "I'm asking God to help you and strengthen you." And that would be the response that I would have given. This was her response. She says, "I appreciate that, but pray about one more thing. Pray that I'll have the wisdom not to waste all of this. Pray that I'll have the wisdom to know what God is trying to do in my life. Pray that I'll have the wisdom to understand how this experience, this trial, this test, this trouble fits into the greater plan of God in my life as I go through this journey." We can be shaken. The trials of life, they shake us up, and we don't diminish that at all. That was last week's message. But we can be not deterred. Why? Because we have a God who loves us and will generously grant the wisdom we need to face the adversities of life if we will just, in humility and belief, ask. Ask. Are you going through something today? Are you going through a trial? Are you going through a test? Are you going through a trouble? Have you asked God? "God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Help me be able to figure out what you're trying to teach me as I go through this." Know that God is not looking down on you. God is not judging you. God is not saying, "You got into this mess, you get yourself out of it." God is saying, "I'm here. I give without reproach. Let me give you the wisdom that you need as you go through the trials of life." Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around today. Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it instructs us. I thank you for being a God who loves us generously, without reproach, because of Jesus Christ, because of the gift of salvation, because of our position in you, in the Lord. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, for any that are here this morning, and they're going through the trial, they're going through the test, they're going through the trouble, and they need wisdom. I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that they would learn from this scripture this morning to turn to you, to not become despondent, to not be filled with anxiety, not be filled with fear. May the cause of the trouble and the trial create an effect of turning to you for wisdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you so